So R2H considers and conceives that the reactive mind is a reservoir of ARC breaks. That is the basic assumption on which that process hops off. We know that the reactive mind contains images or beliefs in other beings, and certainly they're images in terms of thought, don't you see? We might, by the way, have put a T under other beings for thought, you see, because thought or significance could be included in that. But by just putting up other beings, you also have the reflections of other beings so that you can omit that. But you know that the reactive mind consists of images of other beings, thoughts of other beings, thoughts of oneself, and so forth, plus matter. If you don't believe it's composed of matter, someday run into a ridge. Energy. You hear and see the energy flittering around in the reactive mind all the time, and that's what registers on the tonarm. Space. Every once in a while, a guy can't see a thing, and then he suddenly realizes he's looking across too much space to see it. In a picture, it always has space, and lack of space is the main thing that's upsetting in the reactive bank. You can't get away from the lousy thing, see? You can't put space between it and you. Space is the cure for no confront, see? And time, good heavens, the thing is not time. If there's any time in the bank, that is remarkable. What you have in the bank is an absence of time, an apparent absence in time in the presence of a totality of time. You've got a nothing where a something is and a something where a nothing is. And that's what makes it reactive. Reactive. Remember, that's what the thing is called. That means instantaneous response, regardless of what time the response is laid in. A equals A equals A also equals 29 years ago equals a billion years ago equals 8 trillion years ago. Before you start inspecting it, they're all the same time. So you got this terrific time identification. You also have space, energy, and matter identifications. Now, as far as form is concerned, that's not a terribly upgraded thing. It comes into the field of aesthetics and arts more than anything else. Some people like Picasso, some people don't. Some people like blonde, some people like brunettes. Form, aesthetics, taste, that sort of thing. And the reactive bank, the things least confronted in the reactive bank are those forms which one has disliked most. And so, of course, he's got a wonderful close-up stockpile of forms he detests. We're not talking about income tax forms. We're talking about pleasanter things. Like girls and things. Anyhow, as far as location is concerned, if there's anything that is A equals A equals A in the reactive mind, it's location. When I first collided with this early Heliotropos, I was absolutely sure that it was in exactly the same location. But here, trillions of trillions of trillions of years before, some knucklehead had begun this thing, and then somebody had walked back in the vicinity and said, well, this is what you do when you were here, and proceeded to give the Heliotropos implants. I was sure that was the case. In fact, I only know now intellectually that it's not the same place, because it's the same type of scenery. Given a little similarity of form, and boy, those locations were identical. But what are you doing right now, packing around in your bank, in your head, in your ridges, planets which are light years away? It looks to me like that's a very interesting identification of location. In an auditing session, this comes off all the time. It happens so often that you don't even think about it. This guy is sitting there, let us say he's running something, and it's something that happened in Australia. Doesn't seem either peculiar to the auditor or the PC that it is being run out in England. There's a 12,500 mile error in location. And you very often see this kind of an odd thing happen. You get the thing all run, and it goes spang and stays there. It goes to its proper location. It seems to disappear or something. Of course, by moving in time, you can make the thing disappear too. But I've had this odd experience of not being able to run certain engrams because they were too well fixed in their proper location. You practically have to go to Arizona to run it. That's where it happened. You can spot the facsimile, but it's over in Arizona. Well, it couldn't be very aberrative if it fixes its location that smartly. That's the right location. Well, now, if everything was on its proper time span, you'd have to move all over time in order to connect with anything, wouldn't you? So the thing must be in its improper time span if you can reach it in present time without yourself moving back trillions of years in time. Now, there's something wrong in the reactive mind with other beingness and other thoughts, with matter, with energy, with space, with time, with form and location, and everything that is the matter is they're identified one with another. Two times are identified, two forms are identified, two locations are identified. Two spaces are identified, two energies identified, two masses identified. You can also go the other way into what you call a disassociate. And you as Scientologists run less into this thing of disassociation. Someday you may read some Sigmund Freud and you'll hear all about disassociation because he specialized in this thing, disassociation. It's not anything we've ever talked about to amount to anything, but two things which are the same thing, approximately, look entirely different. In other words, two pictures of the same person at two different locations look like two different people. See? That is an inverse of identification. Things that should be seen to be similar are seen to be madly different. You don't pay much attention to this because after a person's done that, he's more or less flipped his lid. But you're now going to run into disassociation, and that's why I'm making a little side comment on it here as we go, because you're going to run into it if you really put in the Itza line. And you're going to wonder what's happening. Because the PC doesn't at first answer the auditing question. You say, have you had any gains in this session? And he says, the floor dropped out, and then I had a couple of drinks, and 3 or 4 years ago, I knew a girl named Mabel. And now, in putting in your Itza line, by the rules of the game, you shouldn't interrupt him. He may sit there, but he's not finished with that communication. And he'll keep on going and going and going, and you'll see all these disassociates come up. And then all of a sudden, if you let him go on, he will eventually come up and tell you a gain he's made for the session. But you're running such violent stuff, you see, on the whole track, that as he passes through the stuff, he's actually going through the session trying to answer your question. And these things are getting in his road, so he says them to you. They tend to as is, and after that he can finally reach the material necessary to answer your question. Got the idea? But now, if you put in an Itza line all the way across the line, you're going to see disassociation, so you better know what it is. It's simply the two things which should be seen to be similar are seen to be madly different. It's the inverse of identification. It's you ought to see a similarity between the question and the answer. If you had a gain for the session, yes, I've had a gain for the session, but I can see better. You get that? Now, that's a similarity, you see. There's the same communication line, and the answer compares to the question that was asked. You get a disassociation this way. If you had a gain in the session, I had a beer 3 years ago. That's a disassociate. Well, it isn't that the PC isn't answering your question. He's getting around to it. And if you're very good at your Itza line, he will eventually wander torturously through and eventually will come up and say, yes, I don't feel like I'll be so thirsty all the time. Of course, that is almost a sequitur statement. He will have uttered other statements less sequitur. But as you search the thing out, you would see that he was coming closer and closer to answering your question as he talked. Try that sometime on a full Itza line, and you will be very, very, very pleased with the result. The guy was answering your auditing question. If you let him go on talking, he eventually would have answered your auditing question. He only didn't answer your auditing question if you cut him off at the point he was disassociating. Then he didn't seem to answer your auditing question. But you'll notice his eye is no longer on you again. You'll notice he's still groping. You'll notice he's still fumbling with the bank as he tells you these things. You'll see this. Well, that's a disassociate. All right. A guy comes up and slugs his mother thinking that she is about to rob him. Well, he's associated his mother with a burglar. Well, you'd say he's nuts. Well, yeah, true enough. There are people who are nuts. But that is what that is. So identification isn't the only crime. There's one beyond identification. That's two things that you ought to recognize the similarity between, you see, as vastly different. So this whole thing here goes on to an inversion. What you get is a re-stimulator factor. We knew a girl who had pink hair. See? We knew a girl who had pink hair. So therefore, girls who have pink hair aren't to be trusted. Therefore, nothing pink must be trusted. And we know a fella named Pink who brushes his teeth, so we'd better not brush our teeth anymore. You follow that torturous line of logic? Well, that is ARC as it goes down scale. Doesn't just stay as ARC, it goes into an inverse because it gets too many things identified and then it gets things disassociated in some kind of an effort to see some separateness in existence and eventually starts going into a twisteroo so that you will have people who consider good communication shooting people. High level of communication. I had a husky one time that knew what communication was. Chewing people up and being bitten. There he was. He was quite a dog. It was very funny. I'll never forget that dog. He's the toughest dog I think I ever saw. I walk into the yard after being gone for a long time, you know, a year or two, something like that. And this dog would suddenly see this, quote, stranger. And he would bare his teeth. He was one of these fantastic Malamutes. He buries, he'd come tearing across the yard, fangs just shooting out of his face in all directions. And I'd pick him up on either side of his jowl and, using his lunge, throw him 25 feet. You practice up a little bit with police dogs and things, you get so, you do, it's like dog judo, you know? And he'd go through the air and he'd land. He'd get up. Oh, Ron. He knew what communication was. So there's all kinds of wild levels of communication. You get people who tell you what pleasure is. They describe agony. It's very funny. So you get these various inversions. ARC then doesn't just decline, it goes and inverts again, and inverts again. And you get a hodgepodge down at the end that nobody can make anything out of. Go down and listen to them in the spin bins and you'll see how far ARC can go because those people are still alive. They're still alive. How far can ARC go south? All the way. There is no bottom at which one dies. But there's some mighty peculiar things happen on the way down. Beingnesses can die, but the individual... No. Forms can die, but the person actually, no. Memory can die, but not the person who is capable of remembering, you see. Not the person who is, you see. He can forget everything. And he's still in that kind of a state. Now, ARC never ceases. So you have no bottom to the process. There are no bottom limits to the process. There's some method of communicating all the way down. It gets down into weird versions of reach and withdraw, as I just described one to you. With the dog. That's a kind of a reach and withdraw. want to make him happy all day Sunday. Why chew him up all Saturday night, you know? Big case game. This is your tone scale. As people go up scale, they go up through anger and so forth. It's very funny. I remember one poor cycle in New York. Auditors would process her, get her up to anger, and she'd scold her family, and they'd promptly put her in restraints and put her back in the hospital. And then she'd get out, and then the auditors would process her, and she'd get back up to a point where she'd scold her family and put her back in. This nonsense just kept going. They'd never let her get up through anger. Of course, they've been knocking her in for a long time. And she just never was able to say that she was mad about it. She was never able to do that. So she never recovered. Now, here's a case, then, of a process which, if you can get any C in at all and get an improvement of the C, or an improvement of the R, or an improvement of the A, you get an improvement of the C, an improvement of the R, an improvement of the A, an improvement of the C, an improvement of the R, an improvement of the A. You get the idea? And you just keep raising this triangle, all three corners of this triangle, up, 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 by the process of running ARC brakes. Now, the basic limit of the process is the communication of the auditing command itself. And you'll be surprised how many interpretations there are of an ARC brake. And one might make a criticism of the process by saying, well, look, it has such a specialized command. Recall an ARC brake. Only a Scientologist would know what that meant. Well, actually, you're really not asking for an upset. You're not asking for a worry. You're not asking for a time he was concerned. You're not asking for this. You're not asking for that. You're asking for an ARC brake. I don't think it'd take you any time to describe to the PC what an ARC brake was, and he'd eventually settle in his own head what an ARC brake was. He'd be better off if he could understand the communication of this phrase ARC brake. But this is one of the weak spots of the process. But it's not a very weak spot. It's very funny how fast this communicates. You say life is composed of affinity, reality, and communication. When one of these breaks down, a person doesn't feel so good about something. Now, an ARC break is a time when affinity, reality, or communication have been cut down on a person, have been reduced. That's what an ARC break is. It may take the individual 3 or 4 days to digest the definition. But the funny part of it is, having digested the definition, he will have made a case game. I don't really consider it a liability. Now, that process isn't going to be used very broadly and shotgunish. You can't use it in a co-audit. It's too particularized. So there's the anatomy, however, of what you are trying to do with the process. You are trying to increase the individual's affinity and reality and communication with other thetans and thought, matter, energy, space-time, form, and location by picking up those points in time when the individual has suffered a cut or reduction of communication, has suffered from a lowering of reality, or from a reduction of affinity level. Period. You don't care what he had an ARC break with, because he has to come up quite a ways to recognize ARC breaks with MEST. This is a long way north. Good, clean-cut ARC brakes with MEST. And that earlier GPM, about the only thing that was causing a great deal of difficulty in running it, was a supreme ARC brake with MEST, that it would obey people who would do things like this GPM implant. Big ARC brake with the fact that MEST obeyed that sort of thing. And an ARC brake with people for debasing and degrading mess to such a usage and end. The items, to hell with it. See, that wasn't the important thing. The important thing was that anybody would tempt something like this using mess, that mess would have banned, so on. Big ARC break. So there's one even wrapped up in a GPM. The thought that you're trying to get across with your auditing command is you want a time when affinity, reality, and communication have been reduced with other beings, matter, energy, space, time, form, and locations. You don't direct what you're going to get the ARC break about or with. That'll all work out more or less automatically. You simply ask for an ARC break. You don't ask in this lifetime. You don't limit him in time. You hope he'll give you something to at least let you get your teeth into the process and get the process grooved in before you're handling a God help us engram. But you want from the PC a time of that reduction. That is what you want. And that's all you want. And then you want to find out from the PC what it was. This goes into your form, which is still being worked out, but which is more or less grooved in now. The formal steps of R2H done for good gain on the case are what, where, when, and then an assessment. And then cleaning up every line of the assessment when it reads, not going by it. That is a difference. And working the ARC break over until it no longer reads on the meter and the PC feels all right about it, and so forth. Now, the exact way the assessment is done, I'll go over that again. I better go a little bit earlier. The exact way what is done is you take what the PC is willing to tell you without probing. What's this ARC break about? And he'll give you a resume of it. Very brief, usually. Where? Where? That's to help him get the time. See, these are all development of the ARC break so that he can more ably identify it. And then when. Now, this when gets very important. He'll have trouble with the where, but nothing compared to the trouble he may get into with the when. Now, the rule is you use your meter on these three steps only when the last dog has been hanged. And you don't date nothing with the meter unless the PC is in despair, on the verge of tears about the actual time. And then you chip in at the last moment and you say, so on. Something like this. This meter dating is terribly easy. You know, there's a training version. That's to train you to date on a meter. I'm giving you the therapeutic version. This is the way she really rolls. You've been sitting there with a meter in front of you. The PC's been saying, it's 1937. No, it's 1936. No, 1937. No, 1936. No, 1937. No, 1936. 37, I think it was. 38. Maybe it was 38, 39. No, it could have been 1930. I just don't know where. When it was. 1937. He's already admitted he doesn't know, and your TA action has slowed down to nothing and so forth. And you watched 1937 bang every time he said it. You said it's 1937. That's your dating step. Got that? PC may get into a specialized case sometimes when, if it was in 1937, it would be a terrible ARC break, Whereas if it was in 1938, it wouldn't have been a terrible ARC break because something else had happened. So they keep saying it's 1938 when it was 1937. Here's the only other way you go about this. When your tone arm is hung up, you've got a wrong date. And you damn well better find it. Tone arm is hung up, you can't get it moving, everything is going to the devil, and so forth. Well, you just better do a scout for wrong dates. Do we have a wrong date? There's number two that you scout for when the tone arm has stuck. This is repairing it. Number two is you get in your BMRs on the session or the process. Because the PC has recalled ARC breaks, which he has then suppressed and has not given the auditor. That causes a tone arm hang up. These are the three things that hang up a tone arm. And the PC, ARC breaks in session because of an ARC break in the past. It isn't because you bypassed charge in the session. It's recalled an ARC break in the past, which has given them an ARC break in the session. When you find that any one of those three, wrong date, suppressed ARC breaks, or an ARC break in the session because of an ARC break in the past, you've got to remedy the situation. Your tone arm will stick and the process becomes unworkable. But one of those three things exists if your tone arm ceases to move on this. The other one that can stop your tone arm from moving is just too corny. You've missed an assessment, you've missed a meter read, and you haven't got the reason of the bypass charge. That's just pretty corny. That's under the heading of meter reading and so forth. The ARC break is always cleaned up to the tremendous satisfaction of the PC, and you're looking on this as something whereby you do an assessment, you say, well, that was the bypass charge, that's it, thank you, recall another ARC break. That isn't the way it's done. Now let's go into the last end of this thing. You're doing an assessment, you clear it line by line, just like you used to do old rudiments. If you get a read, you say, that read, you got your PAT assessment sheet, that read, you got a new one, there'll probably even be newer ones developed from time to time. I haven't issued this latest sheet yet. But it's very comparable to the L1 which you've got. It's just a little better. You see that an attitude refused does so. That ticks. You didn't go down the whole thing, see? You just said, right off the bat, you said, all right. In that ARC break was an attitude refused. Tick. You say, all right, what attitude was refused? And that's the end of your job. It's now up to the itza. That's your whatza. And that PC is going to stem and fuss and stew and try to figure out what attitude was refused where. And the only time it won't come off is when those three things I gave you are out. You've had a wrong date in the session. The PC has recalled some ARC breaks and suppressed them. Or the PC has had an ARC break in the present time in the session. See? And this system doesn't work if those three are present. And if this system doesn't work, those three are present. So you clean this line up, and it's all up to the PC. An attitude refused. I don't think any attitude refused, and so forth and so on. So, well, I don't think there was one. What do you know? At this point, do you shove it down his throat? You say, no, all right, thank you, and go to the next line. Well, he can't remember it, so obviously the thing needs shaken up some more. But you leave that mark alongside of that thing because you're going to come back to it. It was hot once. It's going to be hot again. In other words, that just wasn't ready to be answered. That's the only thing you communicate on that. If he can't find it, and he says he can't, that's it. Leave it marked. Don't even say, we'll come back to it later. Say, all right, and go on to the next line. Otherwise, your needle's going to get so dirty you can't assess. It's highly practical consideration. And you say, all right, was that ARC break caused by a communication? Ignored. You get down to that line. See, and it goes ping. And you say, all right, I have here the communication was ignored. What communication was he calling? Oh, wow. Let's see, it was Bill and me and Pete, and there were three dogs. The spaceship landed. And the dog barked, and we said to hell with it, but if we listened to the dog bark. Yeah, yeah. We ignored the dog barking. Yeah. Down comes your toner. You run by blowdowns. Your whole meter action is by blowdowns. Your whole determination is by blowdowns. You find an ARC break for which you get no blowdowns, then you haven't got the cause of the ARC break, and the PC hasn't remembered anything about the ARC break. But just because you get one blowdown doesn't mean that the ARC break is gone. At this point, you say to the PC, how do you feel about that ARC break? And watch it on the meter. The question is asked to the PC and watched on the meter. If you get a rough up of the needle, the slightest reaction of a needle, that ARC break isn't gone. But usually the PC will tell you, well, I don't feel as good about it as I want. Then keep on with your assessments. You understand? But every time you find one and you clear one up, then you ask the PC how he feels about it. PC feels all right and it doesn't bang on the meter. Hell with it. Get off of it, man. That's it. That's it. Don't get into a situation where the PC feels perfectly all right about it and you haven't done three quarters of your assessment sheet. So you just go on doggedly doing the remaining three quarters of your assessment sheet. You're now trying to find the bypass charge for an ARC break that doesn't exist. And I can guarantee that you've got the withhold of nothing. The PC hadn't got anything to tell you. So he's going to ARC break. So the other frailty of R2H, much more important than the communication of its auditing command, is that an inexpert handling of R2H can bring about an ARC break. Very interesting. Every time you find a line, you go through the same song and dance. You find a line, you ask him the question, he answers the question, he's got it all to his satisfaction, no matter how long the ITSA line is. Don't expect to do many of these a session, man. You probably won't do more than 3, 4, 5 a session. Boy, the tone arm action you can milk out of that thing. Wham, 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 wham. You can get lots of tone arm action. Why recall 10 and get the same tone arm action as you'd get recalling 4 and still leave the PC with some missed withholds? Get the idea? So you just want tone arm action out of it, not the number of ARC breaks handled. You're not interested in the number of ARC breaks handled, just handle those you get well. Every time you find a reason for it, you'll find a tick and the PC will give you the answer and you've now got that. Now you don't even necessarily test that line again. You can drive his PC berserk. He's now satisfied. He's found it. And so forth. Now, you may suspect from the doubtful nature and the fact you haven't got a blowdown that there is another tick on the same line. Just say, well, I'll check this line now. In that ARC break was communication ignored. You know, that still reads. Do you suppose you know any reason why that should still be reading? Well, no, I don't see why it should be reading. Maybe I protested. All right, you protested it. That's all. That's all I wanted to know. Down to the next line. Leave it. You're not going to get any place shoving it down the PC's throat. But every now and then, you say, that line still reads. Oh, it does? Oh, well, wait a minute. It wasn't really the dog communicating. I ignored their communication. They told me not to go anywhere near that place, and I did, and I ignored it. Yeah, well, that caused the ARC break with them, because they should have told me more loudly. And you'll see your tone arm blow down. You see how it's done? Treat them like end rudiments that you don't care whether they clean up or not. And don't leave an ARC break unless the thing is reading smooth as glass. An ARC break is going to give you blowdowns. Just regard it as a source of getting some blowdowns. And if an ARC break doesn't blow down,
you're now going to run into trouble with later ARC breaks. That is the way to forecast trouble. We had ARC break, and then we had another ARC break, and we didn't get any blowdown on either of these ARC breaks. Now our third ARC break, chances of our getting a blowdown on that. The next thing you know, you're getting in the mid-roots, and the PC's going into an automaticity suppressing ARC breaks, and we've got a sort of a mess on our hands. Why? Because we excited some bypass charge by asking for the ARC break and then didn't clean the bypass charge. Now, the whole basic mechanism on which you're operating here is that incidents will blow if the misaligned or bypass charge is knocked out, and that an ARC break is caused by bypass charge. There is no ARC break without bypass charge, so therefore you must find the bypass charge, and if you do, there won't be any ARC break. And it straightens the bank out, and the guy gets oriented in the middle of his bank, and there you are. It's a terribly permissive process. It depends on the ITSA line. And for that accurate assessment, and then having found what the thing assesses, let the guy run on. And it also depends on not to keep slugging him with assessments for ARC breaks that have cleaned up. It has a frailty. You can get the whole ARC break cleaned up. It doesn't seem hardly worthwhile. And there was a reality rejected, and you got a ping on that. It wasn't a very big ping, and he answered this thing. We asked for the ARC break, and he didn't have much of an ARC break, but now we went on and did the rest of the assessment. Oh, you've got an ARC break now. Why? You've invalidated the reason which he gave for the ARC break. It takes rather delicate, slippy auditing. But with those reservations, it's absolutely terrific. It's a fabulous process. Terribly mild, terribly permissive. I see I've left you hanging on the ropes a little bit. There's probably something you don't understand about the process. But if you just did it like N midroods, which you didn't bother to finish if your PC got bright, then you've got it made. You got it made. And if you monitor its success by the number of blowdowns which you get, you've also got it made. And when it doesn't blow down, start worrying. And if it is blowing down and the TA is moving and so forth, don't worry. Just sit back and ride your luck. Look for trouble when it comes, not before it gets there. Because it'll carry you through all the way. PC wants to talk to you the whole session about one ARC break, which is giving you tone arm action from 2 to 6.5. You are an absolute nut not to let him. See? It's the amount of tone arm action you can get in the session, up and down, not the number of ARC breaks you cover. Because the PC you are auditing is in, after all, present time. He is here. All there is of him is here. He isn't barred out of existence by his bank. And if you discharge all of these cross-bypass charges off of present time, theoretically, you could run him all the way to OT without him ever going backtrack to amount to anyone. He just picks up this item and that incident and that incident and this one and straightens him out, and his pictures are getting better and the track is straightening out. And the next thing you know, he's 8 feet back of his head. Say, what do you want to done with these between lives, guys? Thank you very much.